I would like to greet you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God is good.
All the
time.
All
right, may you do it with a little bit more strength. God is good.
All the time.
There is a reason why the times when I preach or when I sing, I normally sing in my car. I do it with a lot of energy. The reason is where I came from, what I've seen in life, and what God has done in my life. So at times I may make a little bit more noise for you, and if I do that, just give glory to God, for God is good, and all the time He's always good. He is never too late or too early for an appointment. Today, the subject title is The Buck Stops Here. The Buck Stops Here. I would like us to go to the book of Exodus. And I would like us to go to verse 4. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven, above or the earth beneath, in the waters below. Then verse 5 says, you shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but show love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments.
Amen.
Let me repeat on verse 5. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord, your God, I am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but show love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this worship service. May you be here now and speak to us and transform us, that we hear the word from above. Let me speak where I'm supposed to speak and be silent where I'm supposed to be silent. For in your silence, your name is glorified. Amen. It looks like the Bible is saying God will punish children for the sins that they've not committed, sins that were committed by their father. Is that what you are hearing? No, can you speak to me? Is that what you are hearing?
Yes.
What did the Bible say? Okay. Let us go to Ezekiel chapter 18. This is an explanation of, or this explains a little bit better. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you people mean by quoting the prophet about the land of Israel? The fathers ate sour grapes, and the children still are set on edge. 3. Now, this quotation was done by the children of Israel, and God is re-quoting that quotation to them. Verse 3 now says, "As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel. For every soul, for every living soul belongs to me, and the Father as well as the Son, both alike belong to me. The soul who sins is the one who will die." Now, do you understand Exodus chapter 20, verse 5? The soul that sins is the one that dies. And God is saying he's going to visit the sins of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those that hate him or those that disobey him. In other words, if you are in that generation and you do not disobey God, then your soul, you are not going to die. I worked in prison at the correctional facility at Plainfield. I worked there as a nurse for almost a year. And I also worked at the one in Pendleton. While I was working there, I wanted to find out why a lot of all the offenders, there's a policy that says all offenders are not supposed to have belts. Offenders are not supposed to have belts. You know what I'm talking about? In case you don't understand my accent. Belts, I'm talking this belt here. Offenders are not supposed to have belts. When you commit a crime and then you are sent to prison or to jail, you take off your clothes and they'll take off your shoes and then they'll give you jumpsuits, and those are, some of them are yellow for women and some of them are orange, and they take a mug shot of you. And now when those are being ordered, this is what I noticed, that you order them, either they are small, medium, or large, or extra, extra large, or large. There are no appropriate sizes for people. And our people that go in prison, just like you and me, they've got different sizes. And the government or the state does not employ people to reduce the sizes so that they fit you. They don't. The reason why you cannot use cords or anything in jail is because the belt can be used as a weapon by prisoners. They will kill each other because their fight is always there every time. I went there, I did. And so, when you look at the picture that is appearing on the screen, can you show it, Jeremy? Can you show it on the screen right there? What are you seeing there? On that one too. What do you call that?
Second
hand. That kind of thing.
Second hand.
Yeah. I wanted to check how this came about. Apparently, this is a fashion that is there. And there are laws that were brought in by states against sagging of pants. In many states, it says when you sag your pants, you commit a crime. But that used not to be there. People used to pull up their pants and then they will be okay. And at times, honestly speaking, it does annoy me when I see young people whose pants are just dropping and things that are supposed not to show are showing, you know. You just have to maybe just pull up your pants, you know. But they say it's their fashion, and they show things that aren't supposed to be shown. But the way that fashion came about, that came about from prison.
Yes.
Because those pants, we cannot give you belts, because you commit suicide or use it as a weapon to supporting somebody. If we give you a string, you are going to tie yourself in the bathroom and then you die. So to prevent you from doing that, then we don't give you the strings and the belt. Now some people will stay in prison for 10 years. They've been having this because all what you got to do is to pull them up. Every time when they are going, you got to pull them up. Because we are not going to give you a string because you are going to commit suicide or somebody will take it away from you and then they will commit suicide. So all what you got to do is always pull them up. And these guys, they come out of prison because they are so used. At times they wear two of those. So that when that one drops, that one will just cover them up. But now, surprisingly enough, through the generations, it now becomes a fashion. And our kids, they like it, some of them. You see, a lot of people with these, I think they are not seeing it for the first time. But it's a culture that came from prison. How come such a bad culture like that, honestly speaking? Okay, I can say bad, but some people say, no, it's not bad, it's okay. How can people agree to wear pants like that? You're walking with your mama, and your pants are dropping and you pull them up. Oh, really? That's what you want to do? But that's what is happening. What happens is, certain things or certain traits that at times we do not agree with, people keep on learning. And then they are blind. As time goes on, they get used to it, and then they will adopt it, and then see it as okay. And tell you what, the states have put laws so that people cannot, you can take it down, that's right, so that people cannot put the sex in pants. But you know what? Are they not? You go outside when you are going right now, you are going to see them wearing those second pants, and they don't know where it came from. It was just passed from one generation to another generation. Now in the spiritual realm, there are certain things that do happen that follow family lines. They are there whether you like it or not. How many of you have ever been to hospital? Just visiting or you have seen some relatives getting admitted in hospital. Normally when you get to hospital or before you have surgery done, what they do is they will check on your social history, your past medical history, your past surgical history. The reason why they do that, when you are getting admitted, the personnel at the hospital would like to know what your father died from. What are the diseases that are associated with your family? What are the conditions that are so prevalent in your family? The reason why they want that is because they want to know how to handle your situation, how to make your life a little bit better, how to treat you and how to manage your condition. But if you do not give them your past medical history, then they do not know. Suppose if one member of your family is put to sleep for surgery and then they take a long time to wake up, most likely they are going to take a long time to wake up to when you are going to be put to surgery. So it is important that you tell the nurses and the doctors that, no, this is what happens. If you are going to get, say, blood transfusion, if there are some family members in your family line who have bad reaction to blood transfusion, most likely that at times you may end up with some problems when you are being transfused. So it is important just to follow your family history. And also when you're in the hospital, they would like to know your social life. Do you drink? So that at least maybe when you get, if you drink, say, every day, you may end up, if you don't get beer, say you drink six of them a day, if you do not get it, you end up with withdrawal symptoms. So we need to be ready for that. Because you may end up becoming crazy, you may end up becoming very sick, you know. So we've got to be ready for that. And also, they would like to know whether you exercise when you are at home. The reason being that if you do exercise and if you are going to have a surgery done, maybe your time that you are going to take to recover, it will be a little bit shorter than the people that do not exercise. Those that do not exercise, you are going to stay a little bit longer in hospital than those that do exercise. And so your response will be a little better. Even the wound healing. They also want to know what are your eating habits, what do you eat. The reason being that when it comes to wound healing, what you eat contributes to how your wound heals. You know, say you are going to eat fruits, it has got vitamin C, it's going to help with speeding up of wound healing. So all these things, they do contribute to you getting better. Now, when you come to the spiritual realm, there are certain sins that are so common in families. I'm going to give you one or two examples. When you go to the Bible, there's a man called David. He was the king of Israel. He was the son of Jesse. When he got to Psalms, David said, I was conceived in iniquity. But there's a certain trait that David had. One day when David was at home, when all the kings were supposed to go to war, and Israel was at war, David was at the top of the house, and then he saw a lady that was bathing. And the lady was naked, she was bathing. And that was the wife of Uriah the Hittite. According to oral tradition, she was a very beautiful lady. And David knew that he sent somebody, and he knew that this was somebody's wife. And he knew that this was one of his soldiers who was at the battlefront's wife. And he took that wife. And after that, what David did was he wanted to say Uriah was the pregnant and tried to bring Uriah back from the battlefront. Uriah came and he avoided the whole play that David was trying to do. And eventually, he ended up sending Uriah to the battlefront to die. Uriah had committed no sin. David took Uriah's wife. He is the king of Israel, who is supposed to lead the children of Israel. He takes Uriah's wife. And then after that, when you follow the history of David, you are going to find that one of his sons took his sister. The sister of Absalom. And then rejected her lady. And Absalom was mad with that. And when one day Absalom rebelled against David, the same trend of sin followed Absalom. You know what he did? He took David's wives and slept with them in the tent in the middle of the day. And one of David's sons was King Solomon, well known for his concubines. You see that the same line of The same problem that started with the father followed Absalom, followed the other son, and to King Solomon. The weakness that was in the father, it followed the whole generation. It is important when fathers are making decisions that we make appropriate decisions.
Amen.
At times, the weaknesses that are in you as a parent, they will follow your children. And apparently what happens when your children are doing it, they are doing it in a very intricate way. And one of the examples is also, you look at a man called Abraham, the man of God. Abraham, when he went to Egypt, he lied. He said that this is not my wife, this is my sister. And that system of lying, it followed his family. Isaac lied. Not only Isaac lied, then Isaac's son, what's his name by the way? One of the twins, what was his name?
Jacob.
And now Jacob lied. Now, Abraham, the grandfather, lied to Pharaoh and before God. But Jacob, when Isaac said, well, I need to have something to eat before I die, then I'll give you blessing. Jacob said, he went, got a goat from the crow, killed it, and he lied. When he said, how did you get this so quick? You know what he said? Your God helped me to get it so quick. Now, the lies were just involving the wife and the like, and now this time, it's involving God. What I'm learning here is this, that when there is a problem within your family, when there's a weakness within the family system, at times that problem follows the family, unless something is done about it. It may be that, ladies and gentlemen, that your great-grandpa used to have extramarital affairs when he was working in the cotton fields. You are not going to do it in the cotton fields now. Now what you are going to do is you are going to go to the nightclub and do it a very intricate way. Or maybe your grandmother used to have affairs, or we used to have broken families, was doing it in the cotton fields. You are not going to do it in the cotton fields. You are going to do it drinking vodka in the nightclubs, in very expensive hotels. Because there's a line, there's a system that there are some sins that follow the family line. And these are learned, these are behaviors that are learned. You pass it from one generation to another generation. And then God says, if you have got a generation that disobeys God, then if there's nobody who stands and says the buck stops here, then that generation is going to perish. And that's why God was saying in Exodus chapter 20, that I am a God who is a jealous God, who will visit the sins of the father upon the children. For those children are going to continue those sins. So what I'm saying is, whatever weakness that you have, it may be a problem during the life, unless if you say the bad stops here.
Amen.
Unless if you say the bad stops here. And if you do not say that, what grandmama used to do is what mother is going to do. And what mother is going to do is what the daughter is going to do. Because these are learned tricks. You learn the behaviors. The way we talk, we learn. The way we cook, we learn. And that's the reason why at times, those that do cheat, that's the reason why at times we have got to change the way we eat. If you cook the way grandpa used to cook or the way grandmother used to cook, and think you are going to make it, you are going to end up with hypertension. You are. If you are going to put a lot of cooking oil in there, and then, just like what grandma used to do, fry the food, and you do not make changes in your life, you know what? You are going to get hypertension and you are going to die young. There's somebody in the eating world who looked at her family life history, and then she saw that there was something amiss, and she decided to make a decision. Jeremy, can you play the video on Jolie?
Moving on then in the New York Times. It's a huge story about one of the most photographed and followed women in the world. And understandably, she kept it all a total secret until she was ready to reveal it. And her decision to share this could help save a lot of lives. ABC's Paula Ferris joins us with all the details this morning. Good morning, Paula.
Good morning, Rob. Very few people knew until this morning. The Oscar winner is 37, a mother of six, and says she did this for her children, telling her story overnight under the headline, My Medical Choice. Julie's difficult battle over this decision started in February of this year, she writes in the New York Times overnight. My doctors estimated that I had an 87% risk of breast cancer. Once I knew that this was my reality, I decided to be proactive and to minimize the risk as much as I could. I made a decision to have a preventative double mastectomy. Cancer took the life of her own beloved mother at only 56. Jolie shared the difficulty of explaining that to her six children. She held out long enough to meet the first of her grandchildren and to hold them in her arms. But my other children will never have the chance to know her. We often speak of mommy's mommy, and I find myself trying to explain the illness that took her away from us. They have asked if the same could happen to me. The decision to have a mastectomy was not easy, but it is one I am very happy that I made. I can tell my children that they don't need to fear they will lose me to breast cancer. Jolie underwent the medical procedure starting in February and completing the process on April 27th with her partner Brad Pitt by her side, calling him loving and supportive and a very important part of the transition. We managed to find moments to laugh together. We knew this was the right thing to do for our family and that it would bring us closer, and it has. On a personal note, I do not feel any less of a woman. I feel empowered that I made a strong choice that in no way diminishes my femininity. Jolie chose to share her story now, wanting more women to get tested and know their options. Now hoping other women can benefit from my experience. Life comes with many challenges. The ones that should not scare us are the ones we can take on and take control of. Now, her chances of developing breast cancer decreased to...
That was good. She saw that in her family there's a long history of cancer. And she had to do something about it. Knowledge is power.
Amen.
When you have knowledge, then you have power. But it all depends on what do you do with the knowledge that you have. If you do not do anything and act upon it, then something is going to happen. And the something that will happen is that there will be death in your family. There are certain things that we are passing through to our children. When we think that there is no prayer in our families, before we go to sleep, when we think that is important, it's not important. I tell you this, what they are teaching those children is that one day they grow up, they are not only going to have no prayer in their house, they are not going to come to church. When you say money is important, and God is not important, Then he threw it up in a half-hearted way. You know what? Your children, when they are going to grow up, you are teaching them certain things. And you know, when they grow up, they are not going, they are going only to be these people who do not know God. And if you don't see the importance of the Sabbath, then your children are not going to see the importance of the Sabbath too, and the relationship with God. And therefore, they are not going to be in the church. If you think, because there are times when people just wake up in the morning, you want to leave your family. And there are times when you look into your family history, probably your mama did, your mom did that. Probably your dad did that. And you know what? If you are not careful, the sins that visited the father will end up visiting you too. You may give a good reason why you can't do it. Now, in the world that we live today, we have embraced sin so much that at times, say you are working in the corporate, and probably during your family line there was somebody used to steal. You know, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal, right? In the corporate world, we don't talk of stealing. We say, well, there was embezzlement of funds. But the truth is this, when they call it embezzlement of funds, there's money that's missing, and the owners are not getting it. The man was stolen. And at times in organizations, we call it what? Misappropriate of funds. And you know what? When I call it misappropriation of funds, before God, that's stealing. Money is missing. The owner is not getting the money. It's not there. Maybe at times we may file bankrupts, you know? And then we just file bankrupts. Yeah? File bankrupts, yes. But you know what? You file bankruptcy and then they cause, they say, okay, you're okay, you cannot pay no more. But when they file bankruptcy, I am not getting my money. One day I was working for a company that was on 86th Street. I went there, the gates were closed, they filed bankruptcy. Until today, they were owing me $4,000. I didn't get my money. They are owing my money. Yes, the courts of the United States say file bankruptcy and they are not guilty. But in the eyes of God, they owe Matthew some money, $4,000. Money is missing. Some people say somebody has been having affairs. The Bible simply says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Whatever name you can give to whatever you do. You know what? If there's a family line in your life that has been following these things, whether it's appropriate or funds, maybe because they are the chief executive, something is amiss. The bug has got to stop somewhere.
Amen.
You got to stand up and say, the bug stops here. You cannot afford to have the devil come and play football in your house. No. You got to say, the bug stops here. For Jesus died on Calvary, so that we can become new creatures in Christ. So that we can become new creatures. For the former things are passed away. For I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. So that what mama used to do in the cotton field, I'm not going to go and do it. What mama, what dad used to do smoking weed, I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I am a new creature in Christ. For the bad stops here.
Amen.
For the bug stops here. It's not going to go anywhere. But if you do not say the bug stops here, guess what? The devil is going to have a few days in your house. If it is divorce, it's going to come. You can give all the good reasons that you can do. But you know what? The source of the problem is just the same. Whether it's misappropriate of funds, whether it's stealing money, whether whatever the case may be, the fruit is missing. You know, it's like this, our grandfather Adam. I was thinking last night, how would you feel that if somebody is going to be sentenced to death because they stole a candy bar, how would you feel? Is that fair justice? If you are said, if you are killed because you ate, you stole a candy bar, is that fair justice?
No.
Or it's not? Okay. The sin that we have today, the problem of death that we have today, what did Grandpa Adam do? Maybe when God was walking and then counted all the fruits, one man was missing. It's the principle. It's the source that is the problem. It's not the sin that he committed. The source is the problem. Where did it come from? Disobedience. And now sin is here today because they ate a fruit. Misappropriate of funds. Smoking weed. Breaking the Sabbath. Whatever the case may be, the bad stops with me. The witness that I have, the bad stops with me. The bad stops here. I would like us to go to the book of Galatians. Can somebody read for me Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7. Let me read it for you. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full right of sons. Because we are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. You are no longer a slave, but a son. Hence you are a son, who is God has made you also an heir. So because we are a new creature in Christ Jesus, because Jesus died for us, we are a new creature. All former things are passed away, and the bad stops with Christ. For his blood will save you. If you are thinking of going through divorce, claim the blood of Jesus. If you are thinking of leaving your wife, claim the blood of Jesus. If you are sending malicious news on Facebook, claim the blood of Jesus. If you are having an affair, claim the blood of Jesus. If you are breaking the Sabbath, claim the blood of Jesus. If you are doing whatever you are doing, claim the blood of Jesus and say the bad stops here. The devil is not going to have a playfield, a playground in my house. The bad stops here. For I am a new creature. For the former things are passed away. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Amen.